of you may be aware that there is a Broadway play that has come to Richmond to demonstrate to anyone who didn't know that Richmond can support something good if they choose to. The Landmark Theater was packed last night. We took our family there. We had made plans to take everybody but Carter. We were going to get a babysitter for Carter and leave him home. He saw something on the table at our house, and he says, "What's that?" And the answer was, "Well, you know, we're going to all go see Wicked." "Am I going?" "No." And he got really upset, and he says, "I'm the one who knows the songs. I'm the one around here. I know the songs better than any of you. Why can't I go?" So we ended up getting him a ticket, and we took him in. The thing that happens at something good like that is that they will play with words and make you think. If you ever watch that musical, it ends with the two chief characters, I'll let you figure out who they are when you go, singing to each other, "Because I have known you, I have changed." Now, at this point, I started thinking about part of our motto that talks about transformed lives. And I don't think the song matches what we're talking about, but it comes close, and it gives us a nice set of words to play with. They sing, "I don't know if I've changed for the better, but I know I've changed for good." Play on words is that they're talking about the change is permanent. Whatever the nature of the change is, it's a permanent change. The only difference is in our church, our motto, we talk about change for the better and change for good. But I found myself thinking about that as they were singing those words. We are continuing to talk about music. We've talked a bit for the last several weeks about music in the Bible. And I'm coming back now to work a little bit more on hymns and praise songs. We've worked on hymns. It's time for praise songs. So I've got a few more. The rules of the game are as they have been before. I'll go through one of these. Maybe invite you to participate, because at this hour there's a fighting chance you would know some of these. In the other hour there's less of a chance of that. What I invite you to do is, after we've gone and listened to one or thought about the words in one, if you have comments to make, the floor would be yours for a moment or two to do that. And we'll just go through as many of these as we can in the time we have. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love." As we sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Those of us in the first hour, there's a hymn we know that has those words in it. And one of the people in this room encouraged me to talk about that hymn sometime. I'm doing that right now, because I think this praise song captures much of what that hymn talks about. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. And we sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Do you guys know the tune of this? I don't. So if you're going to do it, you're going to have to lead it. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you." If you have a bass lead you're singing, it starts low. Comments?
At a youth retreat, that is a very powerful song.
The hymn that stands behind this, and I do believe this hymn stands behind it, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts." I think these two are capturing it, and this is powerful. When I invited you all to suggest it, this came in on, I think, two or three lists. Other comments?
How long in the world right now that you can study?
lowered down, beaten down almost. Easter is coming, and I'm starting to think a little bit about that. And I find myself thinking about a number of things. Somebody suggested a song, and I don't remember which of these two it was, but as I went to look for the one I was pointed to, I found a second one with a very similar title. One of these is called In the Mystery. In Your Name. And the music writer put a pause there so that you think about those words before you go on. In Your Name. There is hope when all seems lost. There is freedom in the power of the cross. Let the world see, in Your Name, there is truth where logic fails, understanding that makes sense of our days. You are worthy. Hear the song of all creation roar. We are crying out as one to You, our God. Now show us the way of Your love, and we'll come running. All for Jesus' name. Your love displayed, we are alive in the mystery. All for sinners gain, Your life You gave, we'll sing Your praise for eternity. In Your name there is mercy without end, overtaking us now and time again. Let the world see in Your name there is love that never fails, and the promise that Your word will prevail, for You are worthy. Hear the song of all creation roar. We are crying out as one to You, our God. Show us the way of Your love, and we'll come running. All for Jesus' name, Your love displayed. We are alive in the mystery. All for sinners gained, Your life You gave. We'll sing Your praise for eternity. You guys know Tim LaHaye? He wrote a series of books. Remember the title of the series? Left Behind. I was in the library the other day. I go into the local branch of the Chesterfield Library every once in a while. And one of the things I look for is audiobooks. I try to keep a couple in my car. Turns out they treat them like books rather than like audio CDs or something like that. So you check them out and you can have them for a month. And what I do is I listen to the book on the way to and from work. And I can get in 45 minutes or so of listening each day. I saw an audiobook on the shelf from Tim LaHaye, and I looked at it more closely, and the title wasn't Left Behind Series 10 or Series 11 or something like that. The title on the book was Matthew's Story. I don't know if he started another series. Audiobooks are books that have been read into DVD, so presumably there's a book out there called Matthew's Story. I haven't seen it. You're shaking your head like you've seen it, but... Well, I'm sort of figuring if there's one, there's got to be a few more, and I'm wondering how far he's going to take it. But I've been listening to Matthew's Story, and I finished about 2 days ago, and immediately it begins by simply reading you Matthew's Gospel. So you hear the historical novel setting of all of this, and then you hear the Gospel. One of the things that really hits home when you read something like that is the disciples didn't know and understand what was going on. They didn't know. I can remember talking to my mother and my father. Maybe you've done this with grandparents or others. But I remember asking her, in the middle of World War II, did you know you would win? Now, all of you know, if you think about it intellectually, all of you know the answer she had to give. No. We didn't know if we would win. There's this wonderful line in the movie Patton where he's talking to one of the other generals who's a little bit puzzled about something that Ike is doing back at headquarters in London. And Patton's line is, I think Ike understands just like I do, we could still lose this war. What do the disciples feel as they came up to the cross? When we sing words like this, do we put ourselves on the other side of the cross and understand what it did, how it changed everything? All for sinners gain. Your life You gave. I think this was the one that I was pointed to by somebody in the group here when I asked for suggestions about these. Here's the one I found. It was the second one. I may have them backwards. Maybe this is the one that was recommended. This one's also called Mystery. A child was born on Christmas Day, born to save the world. But long before the world began, he knew his death was sure, the pain and strife secured. Mystery, how he came to be a man. But greater still, how his death was in his plan. God predestined that his son would die, and he still created man. What love is this? That his death was in his hands. The Christmas trees, they glow so bright with presents all around. But Christmas brought a tree of life with blood that sacrificed the greatest gift of life. Mystery, how he came to be a man. But greater still, how his death was in his plan. I am just a man and cannot begin to comprehend. When you, God, look into these traitors' eyes, what do you see that justifies the Lamb? Mystery. Mystery. I think that captures something about Christmas and Easter both, that sometimes we lose. Sometimes we don't see. Barbara said something interesting. We're having a special worship service on Friday of Holy Week, Friday night. And we're going to have some music on Easter morning. I've missed practice the last few weeks, so I don't know this. I'm just trusting her. But she said, for the past as many years as we can remember, Easter has always been big, powerful, uplifting, celebrating music. And this year it's going to be thoughtful and inward-looking. And I'm wondering if Paul has captured some of this in his own thinking as he's preparing for this. The Christmas trees, they grow so bright with presents all around, but Christmas brought a tree of life. Where do you hear the word tree of life in the Bible? Do you remember? Revelation and Genesis. You hear it in the bookend places, right? In Genesis, there's a tree of life, and people are shut away. You can't go close to that because you've misused it. And in Revelation, it all comes back.
And the
back there, it was called the tree of knowledge, but the tree of life was close by. They were given the tree of life, but they lost it when they misused the tree of knowledge. When you get to heaven, Revelation says there's going to be trees of life, one for every month, giving fruit in its seasons that heals the nations. Where are those trees planted? Where are those trees planted? Along the river of life. That's what Scripture calls it. I had forgotten that. Do you hear the Christmas tree connected to the cross, connected to the tree of life? I had never had that thought before I read this. Very interesting thought. Your turn, if you want it.
There is a children's story that talks about three trees. One of them is the Christmas tree, and it becomes a cross.
What's the third tree?
One of them was used to make a box.
I made a boat that carried Jesus in, a fisherman or something.
But
yeah. One cross. It's like three trees. They're gifts.
Just for fun, keep your eye on the river. Keep your eye on the trees of life. We will come back to this before today is over. You are being prepared.
The first one was the box that became the manger. So it was the manger and the boat and the cross. Mm-hmm.
Comments? Anybody?
I don't know, but when you said tree of life and you connected with the Christmas tree, I was just sitting here thinking, well, that's cool, because my Christmas tree, ever since I've decorated my own when I was a child, is all filled with just ornaments that kids have made. Was, you know, the macaroni ones, or it's the ones that we bought from our family trips. When you said tree of life, I was like, well, that's kind of cool. Because our tree, I always decorate it so that it resembles
reflects
our life, our memories.
Now, if you begin to hear that theme, you may hear that theme expanded in the songs that follow. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes and let me see. Let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship you. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you are my God. And you're altogether lovely, worthy, and wonderful to me. King of all days, oh, how highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, but humbly you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake, you became poor. Here I am to worship, to bow down, to say that you're my God. You are altogether lovely and worthy and wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I will never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Comments?
The common thing I'm doing when I'm like even opening the eyes of my heart and I hear, open my eyes so that I can see.
It's repeated, isn't it?
It is, I mean, I can only think back and reflect on my life. You know, all those years leading up to that point where I found myself just an absolute wreck, you know, emotionally, spiritually, at the bottom. And I'm hearing these songs, and it's like, to me, okay, I had all the intellectual knowledge, but I didn't have the heart. That moment of surrender is like, open the eyes of my heart, you know? Because for me to have it here did nothing for me but land me in a bunch of trouble, you know? It was a heart issue. And the realization that my own heart was so sour and so hardened. You know, I needed God. I needed a miracle. I needed the power of the Holy Spirit to open my heart so that I could have that connection with Christ. And that's the theme that I'm hearing. And then beyond that, it's just an absolute acknowledgement of surrender, saying, you know what? You are holy. You are wonderful. You are glorious. You know, it's a realization for me as to who I am in relation to Him. Understanding who I am and then understanding God's true character. And these songs I just hear, you know, surrender and acknowledgement as to, you know, what really is true, which I needed to come to a place of accepting that, you know, that is true.
In Exodus, the law is given. In Deuteronomy, the law is given again to the first generation after the generation that heard the law. When that second time comes, the heart of the law was obedience and responsiveness. And the evidence of obedience was circumcision. And it's in Deuteronomy. It's not in Paul's writings. Paul's writing, it's an echo of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, way back there where the law was first given, the writer says, circumcise your hearts. If it's only external, it's going to carry you nowhere. It's got to be internal. Open the eyes of my heart is one way to say what I think is the same thing.
You know, when you talk about it has to be internal. You know, Russell, you're talking about how you know, that's what you call dark times. You know, and I think back to, you know, my experience, and I can promise you I can tell you stories that would curl your toes as far as dark times go. But I can also remember all throughout my life having that peak of knowing that my heart was basically open. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I would remember stuff. I might have my eyes closed and things. But I can also think back of times where I was peaking, you know, seeing probably glimpses of the Lord, and they're again ignoring them again. And I think, you know, when you're reborn as a Christian, when your eyes are really open to God, but you know, And I'm sure there are people that never even had that peak throughout their lives. But I can remember peaks indefinitely before my eyes were open. Seeing glimpses of what you, and even acting at certain times in my life, almost glimpses, but not being dedicated to it. So it's it is a internal circumcision of your heart that really opens your eyes. But
I found this one interesting. I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. Isn't that a great start? The last thing I need is for me to be heard. I need to hear what you say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? That same theme that we've been talking about. To be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All I need is to be with you and in the quiet to hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. To be still and know that you are in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. That one caught me by surprise. I hadn't heard that song. I hadn't heard that one. Sometimes we get so busy you can't hear. There's a guy named Robert Piercy who years ago wrote a book that had one of the funniest titles I think I've ever heard in a book. Called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. At the time I owned a motorcycle and was driving it, so that caught my eye. He says at some point in there that very often the thing that we need to figure out about some problem that's facing us can't get through all the noise and bustle. And he says he thinks that's one of the reasons that fishing was invented. That fishing, when it's done right, is an excuse to sit and be quiet. And there's very few other excuses like that that especially men have. No baseball game, no football game, no basketball game playing on the tube, no cars running around a track someplace, no work with all the stuff that it has, just quiet. And he says, sometimes in the quiet, this little idea pokes its head up and said, have you considered me? And when you think about that one idea, suddenly all the things that you need to be thinking about start to open up. He didn't put it in a spiritual context. He put it in a secular context. But I think there was some spiritual truth hiding in that. Even before there was a drop in the ocean, even before there was a star in the sky, even before the world was put in motion, you were on your throne. You reign. Glory in the highest. You reign. Let creation testify by your name. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus reigns. Even before your hand made the heavens, even before the breath of all mankind, listen to the next line, even before we had to be forgiven, you were on your throne. You reign. Glory in the highest. You reign. Let creation testify by your name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue proclaim that Jesus reigns. I like that one. Comments? Y'all sung it before?
We heard the group sing that at Winterfest. It'll never be.
That's powerful. Okay, you get to sing in a second or two, and I think most of you know where it's coming. The first hour wouldn't have been able to do this, but I think you can. The splendor of a king clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? How great. You got to take it because I don't know it. Great is our God. From age to age he stands. Time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. Your turn.
How great is our God? Sing to me, how great is our God? Don't see how great, is our God.
Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing. Listen to this word. Do you hear it? My heart will sing, how great is our God. Do you hear the connection with community in that line? Not every praise song has that. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river without end. It overwhelms me, covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. This is another one. I don't know the tune. Your grace still amazes me. Do you know the tune for that one? Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, your grace still amazes me. O patient Savior, you make me whole. You're the author and the healer of my soul. What can I give you? What can I say? I know there is no way to repay you. I only offer my praise. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees. Your grace still amazes me. It's deeper. Listen to this part. It's deeper. It's wider. It's stronger. It's higher. Deeper, wider, stronger, higher than anything my eyes can see. Your grace still amazes me. Your love still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees. Because your grace still amazes me. Where was that river that we just talked about? Where were those trees of life? They're in heaven waiting on us, right? Deeper, wider, higher. Did you hear that? Give you a little challenge. Some people in our combined groups are reading through the Bible this year, and once a month I'm supposed to give a preview of what they're going to read for the next month just to keep them going. Figure they can maybe last 4 weeks, but after 28 days they're going to be needing a sort of a refill of energy. So I'm looking ahead to some of the things I'm going to talk about. They've slogged their way through Exodus. And in Exodus, God gives for chapter after chapter these detailed directions on how to build his worship center. Remember that? Have you, any of you reading through the Bible? I don't know if you, some of you are part of this group or not. Yeah. Okay. When you read through this, you will very often find that God gives them down to the dimensions of what they built. In some translations, you will read dimensions of cubits. Okay. Now, cubits are the distance between the elbow and the tip of the middle finger of the right arm of the king. So you change kings, what happens to the cubit? You change the cubit. So after a while, they sort of got a standard cubit. And a cubit is about 18 inches. It's about 18 inches, right? It is longer than a foot. Because that used to be, an inch used to be the width of the king's thumb, the cubit was this, the foot was this, and it all changed. You get a new king, you have to redo all the measurements. I don't think I'm kidding. It sounds like I'm kidding. I don't think I am. That's what you beat people with, or it's what you throw when your car engine quits working. Anyway, if you go through Exodus and you look at those dimensions, the ark back in Genesis had dimensions given. In every case, there is a difference between one or more of those dimensions. You build the ark, it's longer than it is wide, it's wider than it is tall. You go and build the temple, okay, these two dimensions may be the same, but this one's different. You go through the whole of the Bible, there's only two things for which all the dimensions are the same. If all the dimensions are the same, what have you just made? Cube. There's only two things in the Bible where the dimensions are cubic. You know what those two are? One is the Holy of Holies. It's hinted at in Exodus, but I can't find that it specifically said, but it specifically said when Solomon built the temple and built the stone and brick Holy of Holies. It's 30 feet by 30 feet by 30 feet, 20 cubits, right, foot and a half, 20 cubits, 20 cubits, 20 cubits, 30 feet, 30 feet, 30 feet. There's only one other thing that's cubic. You come to Revelation and you see the description of the New Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down from heaven like a bride adorned for her groom. And the holy city is cubic. What's the dimensions? 100, it's 1,500 miles on a side. Okay? So here's my question. What's the writer of Revelation trying to tell you? Is heaven going to be 1,500 miles on a side? Answer, let me help you. I don't know. But here's the one thing the writer is clearly telling you. There's only one other thing in the Bible that's cubic. What is it? It's the Holy of Holies. What happens inside the Holy of Holies? That's where God and man commune. That's where God speaks to his people and is with his people. So what is heaven? It's a place big enough for all of us. Anybody who wants there, they're not going to run out of room. And we're going to live in the presence of God. And I heard a song on the way to work, on the way to church this morning. I don't know if you ever listen. I'm pushing up against a chair. That's why this is about to fall apart. There's a radio station on the AM dial that plays very archaic gospel music, very old and not always very good gospel music. And they have these two really sweet women who come on. Both of them sound like their voices have seen better days, and they rasp their way through everything. But they just seem such sweet, good-hearted people, and the music is fun. But I heard a song this morning that I hadn't heard before, and it was talking about this same thing. John saw a city. John saw a city. She starts singing about it, and it segues into a very familiar song. Barbara, I don't even remember now what that song was, but it segued into one. And yeah, Jerusalem, the holy, the old song, the holy city. It segued into that without losing the character of the country song that it was. It segued into that and then back out. And then it moved back and forth between those. And I thought it was the most beautiful rendering of two very different styles of music woven together, making an extremely important point. What did John see? What did John see? He saw a place where we will all be at home. And what's in that place? Those trees of life and the river. Okay? Last song. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or to my knees? Or in honor of you, be still? I can't read it. Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. And I heard that song, and I thought about the one thing in the Bible until the end that had that shape. was the Holy of Holies. What's it going to be like? I don't know. Eye has not seen. The ear of man has not heard. The mind of man has not imagined. Cannot imagine what God has prepared for those who are His faithful children. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the S-O-N, Son. I can only imagine all I will do is forever, forever worship You. I can only imagine. Do you know that, Tim? Can you sing it? If you know it, start it off. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine
what it will be like when I walk by Your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when Your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by Your glory, what will my heart feel?
Will I dance for You, Jesus? Or in all of You be still? Will I stand in Your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
The eye of man has not seen. Ear has not heard, the mind of man cannot imagine what He has prepared for His children. I like praise songs. I don't know them as well as I do, but boy, do they have a message. As Easter approaches, listen to the words. You hear them more than we do. You hear them more than we do. But there is truth in the songs we sing. They have power. We'll do this another couple of weeks, and then I don't know what we'll do after that. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Yes, I'm sorry.
Were you all aware of the song that the youth sang this morning, the story behind that? Reread the words. I met the mother. It's a song written in memory of a son who committed suicide. Very strong in his faith, but he was clinically depressed. And that song was written in memory of him. And I didn't know if you all knew that. And I didn't know that till a gathering.
I think she was at the church.
Yep. She was at our church when the choir did it.
She had never heard the youth choir sing it. And so she was here today.
Oh, was she here again?
Yeah. And that was just a powerful story. I did not realize that. And when you go back and read those words and think of God as the Father of Light, the God who hears and the God who listens when we cry. Powerful words.
I can remember every once in a while running across something where either the writer or the person it was written in honor of was somebody I knew. But when I was listening to the youth this morning, I was thinking about the time when the choir, the only time I remember singing it, I remember the person about whom it was written.
The young man, Jonathan.
His mother was apparently here. I didn't know she was back today.
She came just to the gathering.
Yeah. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, You have given us songs to sing. Let some of those songs be songs that lift You up. And let those be songs that bring us to You, to be close to You, so that the walk that You call us to take in this world will be a walk in which people who see us will see You. They will praise You, not us, but they will be drawn to You because of how You live in us. All this I pray in Your Son's name.